sorry about wasting a bit at the beginning.
No, okay.
It doesn't matter in the least, because it would take much longer. It was very nice of him, wasn't it?
Pardon?
Very nice of Mr. Lair. Mm. Probably next week, I think. This is as exciting as waiting for the curtain to go up, isn't it, on a good play, and always that thrilling moment. Go to the theatre much?
Not nowadays.
No, I don't. I used to.
I used to.
Mad on it.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't go if they paid me. I don't think the plays are any damn good, and I don't think the actors are much good either. They haven't got the personalities that they used to have.
No.
I think the whole art of the theatre is, well, I said decadent.
Yes, it's certainly
all this naturalness is so natural you can't hear what they're talking about. You might just want to start outside anyway.
Yes.
I like the theatre of when I first started, the 20s and the 30s, and it must have been marvellous in the days of Lewis Waller and people like that.
Yes, Gerald Du Maurier. Simply loved him, did you?
I never saw him. I should imagine he was very good.
I used to go every Saturday night right up into the gods for a shilling.
Mm.
And really wonderful. We've entered July, haven't we? Amazing, isn't it?
No summer. Disgusting.
Probably have a very hot autumn, you know.
We always hope for it, of course.
Yes.
That's what we do all the time, go on hoping.
Yes.
In fact, they'll change the title of this country soon to Hoping Country.
We had one wonderful, do you remember, 1959 was a wonderful year. Incessant summer from beginning to end. But I don't think we've had anything since. afraid Winston Churchill's active days will be over, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Broken leg. Very unfortunate accident, wasn't it?
Yes, very. So it's better to be him than some poor widow who's got one back room and no one to wait on.
Oh, quite true, yes.
I'm afraid I haven't got much time for celebrities.
Yeah.
I also feel sorry for the people who have just got nobody and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They fall down and break their leg, it's just too bad.
The only thing with Churchill was he was the man of the moment. I can't think of anyone else could have done as he did at that time, do you?
No, that's all very true. I haven't got much time for statesmen and warmongers.
Oh, no.
What have you. I'm afraid those people, they raise statues and a whatnot to them, but the people who really do serve humanity in the truest sense, you either don't hear anything about them or they're nobodies.
Yes.
I'm afraid I'm very socialistic. Well, I'm not anything really, quite frankly, by politics. I have no politics. I walk around and I see statues erected to this one, statues erected to that one, and I say to myself, well, what did they really do for humanity?
Yes.
The majority of them are just people who, well, by birth and upbringing and all the rest of it have got into some jolly nice fat job, got well paid for it, and they've stood in the background while the people have done the suffering.
Yes. Well, they're not going to come off so well on the other side, are they?
Sometimes I think I'm a bit of a revolutionary.
I think we all are at heart. Things are better, surely, than they used to be. The ordinary man in the street has a better time, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. It's not so long since kids of 12 are made to work in the factories and sent out in the fields at 5 in the morning. I don't think anyone, unless they've really gone through the mill and known dire poverty like I have, can appreciate it. The position.
No.
And they wanted just to go around the shop for 2 pence of tea and 2 pence of jam and go to the pawn shop on Monday morning to get a couple of shillings to get some food for the next 2 or 3 days.
Mm.
And wait until the market's nearly finished to go and get 6 pence of meat. I don't think that people, the majority, a lot of people, haven't got any idea what poverty really is.
Yeah. Views on reincarnation, do you think that we
I think there's a lot of truth in it. I don't know where the evidence lies. I don't think you can prove it so satisfactorily.
No.
But I think it's a very sensible theory.
So I was wondering if Mickey is really an old soul who came back for a short time and then sort of gave himself to this work from the other side. Because he's a wonderful character, isn't he?
Oh, Mickey's fabulous, yes. Get more wisdom and sense out of Mickey often than some of the others.
Yes.
When you get to really know him and get him to talk.
Yes. duties being called away. I don't hear the usual little sounds of preparation this morning.
No, well, I suppose we have to accept the fact that it must be very difficult and sometimes more difficult than
others. Oh, of course it must. After all, I've done very well. I've got 18 wonderful ones.
And how are you?
Oh, hello, Mickey. We thought you were going to... not to come today.
Well, I'll do my best.
Thank you so much.
Just a moment.
Hello, my dear.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you getting on with my book?
Oh, yes, I'm getting to grips with it.
You are?
Yes, there's a lot still to be done, you know.
Oh, I realize that. I don't anticipate that you should be able to do very much about it. Not for some time.
No, we've got a few more sittings yet.
Yes, gradually getting them straightened out.
That's quite true, yes. Yes.
I want you to talk to me as often as you can, even when the book's finished.
Yes, but I'll have to go into hiding for a month or so, I'm afraid.
You need to do the book.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sure you will. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't I think that once we've got the book done, that you don't want to come talk to me?
Oh, no, we'll start another one then.
Good. What should we talk about?
Well, you usually say that it's a bit of a hindrance, dear, when I come with questions, you know.
Well, perhaps this morning I may be able to take up some theme that you may want to know.
Oh, well, very well, please. Well, before we go on to deeper matters, a number of people who would be very interested in your home and garden, I have got it by, you know, on other... from other mediums, but not by direct voice. Would you like to tell me just a little bit about that? People find that very difficult to understand, you know.
Of course, it's always very difficult for people to appreciate and understand things which appertain to our world, which, though very real and natural to us, to some extent must be far removed, one might say, from the material aspect of things.
Definitely.
And as I said before, we have to bring it down to some sort of material level for you to grasp it.
and so much inconsequence is lost. The basis is there. I mean, for instance, a house to us is a house as you understand it. It has a roof and walls.
Yes.
It has rooms and has
windows.
All the knick-knacks and all the things that one loves. In fact, often people have here a replica of their earthly home. If they were particularly fond and attached to it, and of course they merit it, they do have a replica of that particular house, and many of the things which particularly were dear to them, such as pictures and ornaments, what appears on the surface, of course, to be a material thing, in a sense is not a material thing. I mean, for instance, you take, supposing one had a very beautiful bookcase containing many books which meant so much to one, which one had loved and read so often, over here you would have a replica of that. But what would make it possible is not the fact that the bookcase itself was in a sense important. It's only important to the individual by the very fact of the love and the care that you've taken and the interest, which in itself lifts it in a sense above material things.
Yes,
I can.
And the walls of your house are quite solid to your touch.
Everything around and about us is solid and real, just the same as your home is solid and real to you, because we are living in a vibration, or on a vibration, at a vibratory rate, in accord with it, you say.
Yes.
The same as you are living on a vibratory rate with the earth, and therefore all things around and about you are real and solid. So it is the same with us. And therefore, what makes possible the counterpart of these things here is the mental aspect, the mental thought that we've put into it. In other words, we have made something very real to us by the love and affection that we've showered upon it. And we have therefore made it possible for that article or that home or whatever it may be be duplicated here exactly the same, and it remains with us until such time should we find other interests or other things more advanced which diminish the appeal or the interest in the particular things that once were so important. In other words, it's all a matter really of progression. As one progresses, one assimilates new knowledge, new experience, one has new values in consequence, and the old values gradually change. It doesn't mean to say exactly that they have not in their own way been important or served their purpose. They have for the time. You see, none of us can stand still, and what may seem perfect for a decade or an age, gradually as we assimilate new knowledge, new experience, we take on new values, and though we do not completely lose, as it were, the interest in the old, we put it, as it were, into its proper category. You see, we must realize that all life is a state of evolution, whether it is in our world or on your side.
Yes,
Now, don't misunderstand, because sometimes it isn't necessarily always evolving. Sometimes, in some instances, it's sometimes retrograde. You go backwards. Now, on Earth, I think you are definitely having this backwards step. It's as if one might almost say that man is making a full cycle, almost going back to the primitive. I'm talking now about art, particularly. It seems to me that there came an age when it seems that man really achieved as much as it seemed at the time, and possibly seems now, he achieved as much as he could hope to achieve. You take the 18th century, in spite of its squalor and its dirt, in spite of many material aspects which were unpleasant, certainly in art, in design, in architecture, man achieved probably the height, reached the very height of his development.
Yes.
In a material sense.
That's very interesting.
Now, man, through the very circumstances which is brought to bear upon himself by wrong thinking and in consequence wrong living, he's brought upon himself great misery, great unhappiness. You take the First World War and the recent war, which was such a terrible step backwards. Man's art, in consequence, has gone backwards, back almost to primitives. That's why now I believe you refer to much of the art today as primitive, and it's considered to be wonderful by certain people.
Yes.
But really, it is an absolute perfect picture of the modern man.
Yes, that's very interesting, dear. You've said that before. Mm.
And over here, the architecture, although there are many forms of architecture, many types of architecture, according to the plane or sphere in which you live, obviously, but on the particular sphere in which I live, much of the architecture is 18th century. Much of it is the sort of thing that you would associate with Adam, red and so on. Also, much of the architecture is of Greek origin, Roman. There's great beauty in everything that I see. If I want to see other aspects of life and other aspects, shall we say, in the sense of architecture, on other spheres, particularly lower spheres, you see it.
Yes.
And to me, I can only speak from my own point of view, to me it seems primitive and crude, uninteresting, dull in colour, dull in substance. It has no feeling, no emotional, I have no emotional reaction to it at all. On the sphere in which I live, to me, it is so beautiful that words cannot hope to depict or describe it.
Well, you have earned that state of being, you see, dear. You always had a love of beauty.
Any state of being is purely and solely and wholly a state of mind. Mm. When people can realize that, they will realize more and more how important it is to delve deeply within themselves, to find out truly within themselves what is wrong, and begin to assess themselves in an entirely different manner to which possibly they've ever done before. Begin to get real values until man finds real values, realizing, as he must do, the only things that are important are the things of the spirit, the things of the mind, the higher things, and casts from himself the worser, the more material, the more gross, more uninteresting and dull and dreary. He must learn to appreciate, before he can even hope to progress, those things which obviously must be and are eternal, and with his spiritual foundation. In great music you see it, in great paintings you see it, in all the arts. In fact, one could go as far as to say that the things that last here, the things that go beyond the earthly sphere of time itself, are the things of the mind and the spirit, which are the arts.
Yes, that's very interesting. Now, darling, could you help me to visualize your garden?
Well, it's not a vast garden. In fact, I suppose you would even call it small. It has many flowers of many kinds, many hues. Many of the flowers, of course, are flowers which you do not see on earth, and some of the colourings are quite different.
Lovely.
In fact, we have more colour here than you know on earth. We have a greater range of colour.
Yes, of course.
I have what I suppose some people would call a small garden. It is sufficient for myself. I have many roses, which I'm very fond of. Many flowers, of course, which I can't explain fully to you. And of course, here flowers do grow, as I think I've told you before, very tall.
Yes, and they give out music, I hear.
They give out sound, vibration.
Isn't that lovely?
And I also have a sloping lawn.
Yes.
Towards a river.
Oh, how very
and
nice.
And many trees.
Yes.
Beautiful trees. And though we don't have seasons in the same sense that you do, such as summer and winter and autumn and so on, light, though we don't have the sun, we have a light which in itself is bright and yet not startlingly so. We have shadow, it's true, but it's not even shadow in the same sense as you understand it. It isn't a reflection, it isn't from the sun casting shadows. It's something so subtle that I really don't know how to begin to depict or describe it. But if you want to get out, as it were, of the light into the shadow, you may, and you do, but it's impossible to depict this. Yes. I wish I knew how to do it, but I don't.
Yeah. Now, are there really such things as fairies? I've heard that there really are, you know.
Well, there are the small people.
Yes.
They have a life entirely of their own, and they are due in life to natural conditions. They are smaller people. They are people who have a world, in a sense, of their own.
Yes.
I wish I knew how to put this into words. There, of course, you do have them on your side. There is this so-called fairy kingdom of young souls, not born into the world in the same sense or the same way as you understand birth. They're nature sprites or nature spirits.
Yes. Are they the demons?
Spring from nature, yes.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting, darling. I love hearing about them. Very.
I do wish it were possible to find a way of depicting and describing.
Oh, but you do it beautifully, dear. And so poetically, doesn't he, Mr. Flint?
I think so,
yeah. Oh, I think so.
For instance, I often go on the water, on the lake. I swim.
Do you really?
I think I didn't do.
Oh, you used to?
I didn't do it for a long time, you
know. No, that's quite true.
In my early years, I used to. I swim and I ride. I'm very fond of animals. I have several dogs. And I ride horseback from time to time. You wouldn't know Nelly, would you?
Nelly, no. Oh, wasn't the horse you used
that's
to
right.
pat in the field?
That's the one I'm talking
that
about.
That poor old horse.
Poor old horse that I was very fond of.
Yes, you used
to
call him Nelly. Yes.
Well, I have Nelly. Whether it was because of my great interest in Nelly on Earth and my sympathy for Nelly, but she reciprocated and understood. It's strange how animals have a realization of people's thoughts. Nelly was very drawn to me as I was drawn to Nelly, and now Nelly I have here was my own. And Nelly is, of course, young. I mean, she's not an old horse anymore. That was purely physical.
I know. You used to be always taking food to Nelly, thinking
yes,
she was starving.
That's right. Well, Nelly is my horse now, and I ride Nelly.
Yes.
And also, Nelly can talk to me. Now, this may sound crazy to people. I mean, there are so many things we must say, must appear so to people on Earth. But Nelly can talk to me, not in words, but it's a mental kind of telepathy, which does exist, even on your side, between animals and human beings. When you've had an animal for any length of time, that animal gets used to you, and you get used to the animal. And they automatically know much that you tell them. And so it is over here. We can converse in a mental way. Nelly can converse with me, not in words, but in sympathy, in the realization of the inner feelings and emotions. That's why I'm so against all forms of cruelty, because animals feel much more intensely than people credit them with. You know, the ability to sense and to feel is much higher than a human being. Now, this is often said in reverse on Earth, that animals don't have the same sense or the same sort of feeling. Perhaps it isn't the same sort of feeling, but it's on a very high level. Animals are ultra-sensitive because of their lack of being able to make themselves understood. They are not able to converse. They haven't got the same sort of opportunities as human beings, but nature has given them an extremely sensitive realization of things, and that's why cruelty to animals to me is probably about the most appalling thing of all.
Yes, I quite agree, darling. I do.
The sensitivity of animals is extraordinary.
Yes.
One day I must tell you more about the animals. it's a kingdom which I'm so interested in, and which I've done a great deal of work, as a matter of fact, since I've been here.
Yes, you've always had a feeling for them. And sometime you were going to talk about the planets, you told me.
That's such a tremendous subject.
Yes.
That it would take many, many, many communications to be able to get over anywhere near what I'd like to tell you. But gradually we will.
And I do want to hear more about those wonderful decorative people, the guides.
Yes.
They thrill me.
Well, they're great souls, and invariably each one of them has chosen to come back for that particular purpose. And it has been a long time that they've devoted to the study and of communication and of service in varying degrees and varying ways. It's a vocation which they've taken up.
Yes, I feel very close to my Egyptian.
One day I'm just going to come and talk to you.
I wish you would, darling.
I have to go.
He has spoken through trance.
Come and talk to me again soon.
Yes, but just a minute. Frank Lear is going to draw you, dear.
Well, good. I'm very happy, because that would be very good for the book.
Yes, that's what I thought.
I must go, dear.
Yes, well, thank you, darling.
Come on again later.
Yes.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Mickey, darling. It was really lovely, wasn't it? Wasn't he wonderful?
Excellent, yes.
Wonderful. Such poetry, you know. Mm. As I write it out, I could never write like that. He's doing it there, as he says, off the cuff.
Certainly did very well.
Yes, but he's always wonderful, I think.
I'm very interested about Nelly.
Yes, you know, I can see that old horse in Bexhill.
Well,
I